We've been somewhat celebrating the idea factory that was the Bauhaus Art School in pre-war Germany this week on Culturefile, but there were distinct limits to what Bauhaus education had to offer to at least one portion of its students, women. At the Bauhaus, women were likely to meet strict notions of what constituted fit and unfit areas for them to study, as our guest this time, Ruth Bauermeister, explained to Culturefile's Anya Gallagher.
My name is Ruth Bauermeister. I come from Germany originally, but I'm now a professor for architecture, history and theory in Aarhus, Denmark. That's where I live also. What brought me there was that I'm a scholar and an expert of the Danish artist Asger Jorn and the Situationist International that also had a role with the foundation of alternative Bauhaus institutions after World War II. In a way, I really hate Bauhaus. During the 1980s, I was educated as an architect in Germany, and I basically more or less went through the what I would call Bauhaus doctrine, because at that time I felt my teachers didn't have anything else to put up what they would think is important to teach. So we got kind of taught by approaches and ideas that were from the 1920s. And then during the early mid-1990s, I worked as a teacher at the Bauhaus in Weimar. And again, I saw this kind of really questionable revival of the Bauhaus by having it printed on the four-course label, on coffee mugs or socks. It was all over, and it was really like used in a very commercial manner to promote tourism and business, so to say, in the city.
So would you say that you avoid teaching Bauhaus principles?
I think I would avoid to teach any kind of principles for certain. And also, even though I was educated as an architect, now I work as a historian. And I think in this respect, it's very important for me to show the Bauhaus as a phenomenon in history, but also explain why certain things came about and how these phenomena changed over time. It's not so much that I would like to teach it as a recipe or a principle or something how you should follow to make your design. I think it's very important to see how the school and how the teachers and the different directions the Bauhaus took in these few years of its existence, how that was related to the political context at that time. In 1919, when the Bauhaus was founded, it was the time also when, for the first time in history, in Germany, women had the right to vote. By getting this legal equal rights in front of the law, so to say, that also had influence how women then were received at the Bauhaus and that they could study, because 20 years before, women were not allowed in institutions like that. But then again, if you look how women then in sequence were treated at the Bauhaus, this again sheds a whole different light on the institution and informs about a lot of other aspects of the socio-political context of Germany at that time.
Well, they were encouraged more towards the textiles or the practices that didn't involve labor.
Well, it's a very nice way of saying it. If you say they were encouraged more towards textile, they were sent into the weaving workshop because it was said this is what women do, and to have them work in wood workshop or metal workshop, that would be too heavy labor for that. And there was a good share of women who opposed to that. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to learn how these changes in history then also got negotiated in the very practical life of an educational institution. And of course, I think that's a good example. It's also very fun if you read then the master's comments on that. For example, Itten, I think he said, well, you know, it's the women who create the trouble, and that's why we have to frame them in a corner. It tells a lot about the individual's perception of this whole topic, so to say, or this whole change.
Really, the Bauhaus is what's often thought of in a rose-tinted light, a shining example of equality and an equal way of living, but it's not really the case.
No, I would certainly not say so. And I think the reason why it was put in such a positive rosy light, as you say, also has a lot to do with how it was perceived again in Western Germany, certainly after World War II, because in a way, it was the Bauhaus that served again as a model to build up this new Western German society. And it served so well as a model because it was something that could be recycled, so to say. The Nazis closed it down, so it was a perfect example of something that could work again after the war. But of course, the conditions of 1945 and the 50s then were totally different, and you couldn't just take up an institutional model and an educational model that worked in the 1920s and just revive it or reboot it again. But I think because it has been promoted so much, then it became so famous. And that's not only the case for Western Germany, but the fact that these Bauhaus teachers spread all over the world kind of promoted the distribution and maybe also the positive look at it. But I think the most important thing about Bauhaus is this kind of idea that it promoted, which was this kind of holistic promise to create continuity in a modern world that is actually characterized by separation, by fragmentation, and by discontinuity. And there you have this institution that promises to bring things together again, which actually I think is an idea that is doomed to fail from the first place, but it seems to work every time again someone holds up the sign, because you would always find people who long for this kind of holistic, harmonious way of living.
Ruth Baumeister of our House School of Architecture there at this weekend's Bauhaus FX conference in Dublin. Ornya Gallagher was the reporter. And don't forget, if you'd like to hear all our reports from the Bauhaus FX conference, tune in to the Culture File Weekly. That's Friday evening just after 7 p.m. here on RTE Lyric FM.